Good morning and God bless you. Turn your Bibles to the 50th Psalm. We read out of there this morning, verse 23. Now we're going to look at verses 14 and 15. If you would stand for the reading of the Word of God, stand in your hearts. We are with God. We pray that we would faithfully proclaim Him and know Him. Psalm 50, I'll read verses 14 and 15. We will also read Hebrews 13, verse 15, and we'll call today's sermon, Break the Pattern. Break the Pattern. Offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving, and perform your vows to the Most High, and call upon me in the day of trouble, I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is, the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. Father, we acknowledge your name. We are asking you to deliver us, those that don't know you, out of the kingdom of darkness, into the kingdom of his beloved Son, into the light. Those of us that are struggling so mightily to be more prepared to know you in this battle, and in knowing you, trusting you. Use this jar of clay to your glory. In your name, Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So, our main aim in life should be to know God. Not just know about God, but know God. Now, you can know me. You might know, you know, when I was born, where I went to school, what degrees I have, what sports I was involved in, what I'm going to do this afternoon, what I like, how long I've been married to my wife, but you don't know her as well as my wife knows me, right? You can know a lot about Martin Luther, but you didn't know Luther, right? And our main aim in life should be to know God. He wants us to know him. As a matter of fact, in John 17:3, Jesus said that eternal life was about knowing God. He says this, and this is eternal life, that they would know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. And what pleases God most is for you to know him. Amen? So the greatest thing that can happen to you in this life, the greatest thing you can strive for in this life is to know God. And to know him better, more fully, more deeply, more personally. There is no higher call for your life. No higher call from God than to know him. Nothing is worth more than knowing God. I mean, you think about it, all the storms and everything of life, and even if you're doing good, someone else isn't, and you're trying to minister and all this, what is the most important thing in all of that, in all the ups and downs and all arounds? Like Psalm 23 says, I know the Lord, he is my shepherd, I'm not going to want. And then it gives all the ups and downs and all arounds, and it says, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Knowing God is with you in the good and in the bad, this is what life is about. Knowing God in all things. Nothing is worth more than knowing God. And nothing is worth holding on to if it means not knowing God. We heard from Jesus. Let's listen to the Apostle Paul. In Philippians 3, verses 7 and 8, he says, but whatever gain I had, and remember, he was way up there in the religious world. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. And then in verse 10, he restates his aim, that I may know him. I mean, you might be making all kinds of mistakes, this, that, and the other thing, and you're trying to find this formula, trying to find that. If I just give this amount of money, if I just do that, I find my call and all this other stuff. None of that is anything. What's something is knowing God. Knowing God. I would recommend a book to you by Jim Packer, J.I. Packer, called Knowing God. What a fantastic book. It's one of the all-time classics, Knowing God. You should read that. You should read Pilgrim's Progress, Fox's Books of Martyrs, and your Bible. Knowing God. Now, we've heard from Jesus and the Apostle Paul, right? It's obviously important, knowing God, more important than anything and everything else. But how do you do that? I mean, we could sit here and cheerlead all day and say, you got to know God. And yes, you could say, well, by studying the Bible, by praying, by giving, by fellowshipping, going to church, all these things. Yes, yes. But what did Paul say? Paul said he knew God by being willing to lose everything. He was talking about losing his reputation and his position and his former life. But what does this look for me? How does this look? How can I know God? Is anybody interested in that? I hope so. And you might not be saved here today. You might be listening to this some other time on whatever media it is. And you think, well, I know people talk about knowing God, but what is it? But if I can show you one way that you could really know God today in a way that you can't know Him in any other way, would you be interested? You will be. Yes. You will be, I promise you. One way that you can start to know God is by winning the battle against the big lie in your life. Now, what's this big lie? The big lie is that you're going to find true happiness and lasting fulfillment by violating God's will. Now, practically speaking, believing the big lie means that you look to find satisfaction in sin. And none of us have ever had that happen. Every single person on earth. Even Jesus was tempted with that. You're hungry? Turn the stones to bread. You want people to recognize you? Jump off the building. They'll know. You want to not have to go to the cross? I will give you all the kings of the world. Just bow to me. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. All that is in the world is from the world, but it is not from God. Now, practically speaking, again, believing the big lie means that you look to find satisfaction in sin by deliberately sinning. Now, hold on, because we're going to talk about directly what to do. By relishing sin. And you need to find a practical answer to it. An in the moment of temptation answer. Now, do you get my point? Amen. Something to help you break the pattern of persistent, willful sin. Now, it's true. Let's get real. You may find momentary happiness and partial fulfillment in violating God's will. Sin might seem to work for you in the short run. Sin can be enjoyable. It can feel like a relief. But its pleasures are fleeting. They don't last for too long before sin comes calling again, and you'll just keep chasing the wind. You'll never be done with sin by continuing to do it. Hello? You'll never be done with sin by continuing to do it. But what are you going to do? You're always going to have to continue to come back to the altar of the big lie to make a sacrifice for sin. So if you're going to stop that certain type of sin, you're going to have to answer the big lie in your moments of temptation. And what you need to learn, I know I'm getting to it. But see, the thing is, to shepherd you, I can't just say, this is where you go, there's how to get there, I've got to walk with you there. Now, I've walked through this path that I'm about to talk to. I still stumble on this path a little bit because I want to. Now, can we get real? Right? But what you need to learn is to sacrifice those fleeting moments of pleasure on the altar of praise and thanksgiving. We read two different verses there. We talked about a sacrifice of thanksgiving, a sacrifice of praise. And that's what we're talking about. And I'm going to get there, going to be very specific. This is where the battle is most real. People can be willing to praise God when they want to, but they don't want to praise God when what they want is sin. And therein lies the battle. It's just as well to face it. However, the more you yield to God with praise and thanksgiving in those moments when it seems like a sacrifice, when it hurts, the more you will progressively find true happiness and fulfillment in God. Why does it hurt so much? Because of the death of your flesh. That's why. The sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, that is how you'll discover that God is greater than the pleasures of sin. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. And this is a means of grace. You've got to discover that God is greater than the pleasures of sin, or you won't do it. But you've got to do it more and more. Now, you might say, yes, Pastor, I get it. Okay, I can agree with that. But exactly how do I do that? What does that really mean, practically speaking? What exactly do I do in those very moments when it feels like sinful pleasure is what I need to relieve my stressful pressure? Boy, that was wordy. Yeah. What do you do in those very moments when it feels like sinful pleasure is what I need to relieve my stressful pressure? Okay? Well, now again, I'm going to be perfectly practical with you. Different sort of message today. I'm going to be very specific as to what to do in order to battle the big lie when it rears its ugly head. And it's a very simple thing. You might roll your eyes. You might shake your head. You might go, oh, come on. Because it's very simple. But it is not simplistic. It is holistic. In other words, it is a lifestyle. You can easily remember this, but you'll have to keep reminding yourself to do it until you get used to doing it as a holy habit. Anybody with me still? And when you start doing it, it might seem like hard work because you're just not used to doing it. And it may seem entirely unnatural to do it. Your mind is going to fight against it. The enemy of your soul will tell you it won't work. It might feel useless or even hypocritical. It will seem like a sacrifice. You won't want to do it. But that is why you need to do it, to do something good, godly, and different in your battle with in-the-moment sin. You break the pattern. And now, here's the thing about knowing God. If you can experientially know God, you know, you ever seen that movie Band of Brothers? Right? And they all fought together in the theater over there, and then they became linked. They were brothers. They knew they could trust each other because they were in the, I don't even think they had trenches back then, but they get there from World War I, right? Trench warfare. But you know how it is. They talk about that with offensive and defensive linemen. They're in, that's where the game's won, by the way. The big uglies bumping against each other, period. That's where the game is won. Because you can be the greatest player on earth, but if you've got less than, you know what I'm saying. So if you're with somebody and you've gone through the sickness or the whatever it is, and they've been your friend, they showed up at the hospital, they've been praying for you, they didn't judge you, they gave you validation, they gave you things that you need, they were there with you all the way, you know you got them, right? You know that's your friend. If you could experientially know God, right down in the battle zone, and you can see and feel and know how God has led you to win some battles and overcome some temptations, and you see some change, then you can know Him in a way that you cannot know Him otherwise. You're down in there and you just feel, if there's something, and He helps lift you out of that, and it hurts, but you start seeing that you plant the flag there and it wins. All right. Let's say if I go, I can deadlift 10,000 pounds. That's by far, no one's ever lifted that or anything like that. And you say, come on. 5'2", 150-something, 60-something. Stroke, 2 heart attacks, little old, little white boy and all that, whatever. But then all of a sudden, I grab it by one hand and thrust it up over my head. Suddenly, you'd say, hey, let's make some money. Let's go bet people. But you would know. You'd been there. You experienced this. And so then you got 4 or 5 guys coming at you. And I said, I can stop them. They go, oh, you're not going to stop them. Pinky boy. And I just start poking them away with that. Because why? Because I've got the power. Now, if God shows you His power to overcome sin right in those moments when it seems like no way, you got something. You got something. But you've got to really know Him. There was a cartoon years ago with Sylvester the cat. And he was chasing Tweety, I think. And he went into the zoo and he's chasing Tweety. And then a dog comes and a dog's trying to stop him. And he's cowering and he kind of sticks his hand out like this little claw and just kind of going like this just a little bit. But they were at a zoo and a panther sticks its hand out and goes, and the dog goes slice, 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 slice. But see, Sylvester wasn't looking. And he looked back and goes, wait a minute. Then he looks at his claw. Then he's like, ha ha. Now, there's a lot of people that try to apply the Bible like that. They try to find some formula, but they don't actually know God. And so they keep falling into the same thing. I've been there. But as you get to really know God, right when it, woo, then that praise, oh boy, getting ahead. But think about that. If you can know God in the battle, then you can know Him in a way as God's soldier, as you are God's soldier in your war against your sin. And that knowledge of God will spill out into all the rest of your life. It will fill you up with the Lord. Because as you grow in your knowledge of God, you gain a greater love for the Word of God, the worship of God, and the people of God. The more you know God, the more you delight in godliness. Instead of seeing that as a drudgery. I want to read the Bible. I want to go to church. I can't wait to start singing. I can't wait to start praying. I want to give more than 10%. I said it out loud. No, I did not do that. I could then just say, if you know God, you'll give more than 10%, but I did not say that. And it's not necessarily the truth. But think about this area. This is the area everybody has to deal with. This is the area everybody... No one really wants to talk about too much because I don't want them to see what I'm doing. The devil doesn't have to read your mind. He can read your life. You know who knows God. Do you know God? So, let's do this thing. What do you do in those moments of temptation when the big lie makes you think sin is satisfaction? Like it's what you need. Here is what you need to do. Sing praise and thanksgiving to God. I'm talking about singing out loud with your lips and your heart to God. You feel like picking that up. You feel like looking at that. You feel like saying this to somebody. You feel like you're going to grab in your fist and your whatever it is. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Calvary, Calvary. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. You could make up stuff. You could. I mean, you could get songs in you, godly songs. I'm not talking about 70s rock and roll. I love 70s rock and roll, but I'm not singing that when I feel like that just gets me more. You know? But when it's like, okay, I just want to. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me, now safe am I. You know, love lifted me. Whatever it is, it doesn't have to be theologically perfect or anything like that. You're singing praise to the Lord. I'm talking about right in those moments. Right. You! I was sinking deep in sin. Yeah. Here it is again. When you feel like sinning, start singing right then. Right then. It's so clear. It's so obvious. And it works. It really does work. But you think it won't. You won't do it. And you go into it and you don't do it. You know. Well, you know, okay, I'll sing one song. Oh, it's still there. Of course it is. Because that flesh hasn't died yet. You break the pattern by starting a new one. You start drinking water instead of start drinking alcohol. You stop eating burritos. And you start eating broccoli. Anybody that knows me for the last 20 years here knows that that was hard. No, Margie, not this afternoon. Man. It's harder to do it. Again, you break the pattern by starting a new one. That's how you change, and it works. Now, when you first do this, it's going to hurt. It may seem like you're dying, and in a sense, you are. You're dying to yourself. Now, listen to this. I'm going to give you a verse that I'm sure you've heard before, but let me then turn it up. Galatians 6:8 says, "For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life." In other words, you will either suffer the death of your flesh or suffer death from your flesh. You will suffer the death of your flesh or begin suffering corruption. Death from your flesh. That's good preaching. Amen. You need to do something different for a change. Think about what I just said. You need to do something different for a change if you want to change. And in those moments of temptation, when you sing instead of sin, you are worshiping God by saying no to sin. And instead, turning to God, and a life of worship is worth the self-denying sacrifice. Amen. Psalm 50, verses 14 and 15 bears witness to this. In our day, in your life, it looks like this. Offer up the sacrifice of thankful obedience. Call on God with your praise, and He will deliver you, and it will glorify Him. Yeah. I just don't think it's going to work. Faith, faith. You need to do something different for a change. Again. Hebrews 13:15. Let's look a little closer at this. It says, through Him, let us offer up praise to God. Your sacrifice is not the blood and exacting details of the old covenant. It is the sacrifice of praise through Jesus Christ on the ground of His righteousness. It is a sacrifice of praise. Now the text says, let us continually offer up praise to God. Your praise to God is to be offered continually. It should be consistent and constant practice. Yes, just start applying it now. Start applying it today. But keep doing it. It's a continual thing. The text says, let us offer up a sacrifice of praise. Your praise to God may be costly or inconvenient. You already made the provision for sin. Pour it down the drain. And you could say, this is just coming to me now. Showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. Don't pour it on your head, pour it in the toilet. But you get it. I know it, especially for guys, that's my experience in talking to guys about this. They're like, it just seems, it's not tough. It was tougher than Jesus on the cross. All these things, Paul was left for dead. That means he was dead. And he got back up. Suffering the death of your flesh. You will sow to the flesh and reap corruption, or you will sow to the Spirit and reap eternal life. That's not just talking about like in the end. It means now. Amen. Now, this is life eternal. That you would know Him. You suffer the death of your flesh, you know Him more. That's how it works. Do you got me? Yes. Again, it can be costly, it can be inconvenient, but when you worship God and know God by giving the sacrifice of praise instead of indulging the satisfaction of sin, then you know Him more. The text says that our praise is the fruit of lips that acknowledge His name. So yes, that means you say that you're a Christian. Now, woo-hoo-hoo-hoo! You say that you're a Christian. If people ask you what you think about Jesus, you don't deny Him. You say, He saved you and is your Lord. But it also means you act like He is Lord when something else demands your obedience. Think about it. The big lie comes calling and says, follow Me. I don't know how to get it. People say that. What do I do in real time? This. But you're just not used to doing it. Exactly. Break the pattern. Do something else. You haven't tried it. I sing around the house all day. Yay, good. In that moment of temptation. It means you act like He is Lord when something else demands your obedience. It means you sing to Jesus instead of giving in to sin. You praise to God is more than just thoughts. It is spoken or sung. You're winning against sin when you sing to Him. You know how it is. Music and singing have an incredible, indelible impact on you. There are people that weren't born in 1975 or 76. I think I was in fifth or sixth grade, and you will remember it. Right? Yeah. See, even the kids know it. And that's okay. That's okay. It's proving the point. Music is incredible. But why let the devil run your life with it? Amen. And if that's true, then can you let God run your life with it? You see, after the Israelites crossed the Red Sea, they made up a song. They sang a song that we still sing today. I will sing unto the Lord, for He has triumphed gloriously, the horse and the rider thrown into the sea. The Lord my God, my strength, my song, has now become my victory. The Lord is God, and I will praise Him, my Father's God, and I will exalt Him. Exactly. How many times do you have a song in your head? Always. How many of us sing in our cars or in the shower? Talk about the masked singer. How many of us sing in our cars or in the shower or when we're all alone? And people say, you know, J.D., you're singing louder than the music on the thing. I go, well, I know. And I'm thinking, man, I sound like I'm good in tune. And then they turn that down like, but that's it, joyful noise. You know that's the way it is. If she says yes and you come back to the house and you're like, wee, you know how it is. Boys, don't lie. No, I'm cooler than that. Good for you, Hepcat. Whatever. Man, I'm dating myself. But anyway, this is what's going on. You know it. When you... you're going to the car dealership with Elon Musk. And he loves you. And he says, pick whatever car you want. And you try to act all nice, but inside you're going, yeah, yeah, yeah. Then he says, get two. He's not going to worry about it. What do you think God has for you? You think he hasn't made provision for sin? Not just in the cross of Christ, but in the cross of you. You go to the cross. Steve and I have been talking about this for years. We're like, can somebody explain to us what you mean by go to the cross? This is it. Yeah. The sacrifice of praise. The death of your flesh. You will sow to your flesh and reap corruption, or you will sow to the Spirit and reap eternal life. These holy habits have a holy harvest, and it'll make you happy. Yes, I need to keep learning that. We can all be doing it, and then we remind each other. So if you hear me singing, it's better than me swinging at you. Okay, sorry. How many times do you sing when you're all alone? Amen? What you need to do to answer the big lie is take that truth and apply it to the altar of God to give the sacrifice of praise instead of indulging the satisfaction of sin. When you feel like sinning, start singing. You fight sinning with singing. I know it seems simple. Hallelujah! It is simple, easy, and obvious. We just don't do it. Not really. I tried this Christianity thing. No, you haven't. Fight sinning with singing. Break the pattern and start a new one. In those moments of temptation, you worship God by saying no to your sin, no to yourself, no, deny yourself, take up your cross, follow Him. What do you think it means? What the world and the devil want you to do. And you add to that by praising and thanking God. You break the pattern by doing the opposite of what you usually do, and it becomes what you used to do. I'm saying that again. Yes, yes. You break the pattern by doing the opposite of what you usually do, and then it becomes what you used to do. Amen. One more time. You break the pattern of what you usually do, and it becomes what you used to do. Amen. I used to grab the bottle. I used to grab the joint. I used to grab the needle. I used to grab my nose. I used to follow certain people. I used to order my life around this. I had friends this way, friends that didn't do it. I had, right? It starts happening immediately to you when you get hooked. Because then you're not all the way down in the gutter yet, but you decide to step in the gutter every once in a while. So now instead of stepping in the gutter, step into God. Don't do what you usually do. Make that what you used to do. Break the pattern. You can stop enjoying that sin and start enjoying God. Amen. You can make up songs. See what God will do. I've done it. I don't remember what they are because I made them up. He gives us songs in the night. He gives us these things. And sometimes I write them down. I think, wow, they're really good. And they're not, but they're good in that moment. Break the pattern. Heavenly Father, we do love you. We want to break the pattern because we know it glorifies you. You say, we will give that sacrifice. That is our vow of obedience. You will hear us and you will deliver us and it will glorify you. So we offer it up. We acknowledge your name, not just as our Lord and our Savior, but as our Redeemer in this life, that we would point people not to how great we are, but to how great you are. When they see those things that they thought we would never give up, and yet we do gladly. then that says there's something that money can't buy, poverty can't lose, no one can steal, death can't stop, the devil can't touch. And the only way I'm messing up is if I don't have faith. But I have faith, Lord. Yes. You've given it to us. You've given us this grace and mercy. Give us more because we've done it. Give us grace so that we don't have to do it again, but we can win the battle by surrendering to you. Yes. This we do by your grace and in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.